Hello and welcome to this message from Charter Oak Church. On this first Sunday of June, we start a brand new summer series called The Gospel And. This week, the focus is the gospel and grace and truth. We need to be grace people and truth people, not half grace and half truth. Grace people are pleasant to be around, but they never help us become who we should be. Truth people inspire us with their courage, but turn us off with their intimidation. Jesus was all grace and all truth. How can we be people of grace and truth?
In June and July, Charter Oak Church is presenting a message series called The Gospel And, where we are looking at how the gospel informs some of the most important topics of our day. And some of these topics are going to be actually controversial. Like next week, we are talking about how the gospel informs this notion of cancel culture. And so this week, we're doing some very important work. We are actually setting the groundwork for the next 2 months at Charter Oak Church. And today we're talking about how Christians behave, especially how we behave concerning those controversial topics like cancel culture and human sexuality and the coronavirus and what we do with masks. Do Christians operate with love and acceptance or hard truth? Do we condemn sin or do we accept people just how they are? Are we people of grace or are we people of truth? Now, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he was somebody of grace and truth. Grace and truth. And that is so countercultural to us today because we are or people. We are either people of grace or we are people of truth. In fact, in every facet of our lives, it feels like we are or people. Conservative or liberal, right? Democrat or Republican. My way or no way, right? And then there's the really important things like Star Wars or Star Trek or Marvel or DC, right? And I'm not even kidding about that. We are polarized in our culture. Do you sense that? Our culture has popularized polarization. We are trained to be or people. Jesus was an and person. And so I want to read to you the gospel today. We're in John chapter 1, and John chapter 1 does a fantastic job of describing exactly who Jesus is. Now, these words aren't going to be on your screen. The gospel reference will be on your screen right now. And so I really encourage you, if you have your Bible or a Bible app on your smart device, turn there with me and follow along. And frankly, if you don't have access to a smart device or a physical Bible, contact me. Let me know. I would love to get a physical Bible in your hands. Follow along with me, would you? John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. Here's what John writes. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Grace and truth come through Jesus. And it is so okay to admit that being somebody of grace and truth does not come naturally. Because it doesn't come naturally to anybody. We tend more towards one or the other, but it is our relationship with Jesus Christ that allows us to be both people of grace and truth. So before we go any further, let's just talk about kind of the earthly definitions of these two concepts. Because grace is a concept you really don't hear about much outside of a church setting, And frankly, truth is something you also really don't get outside of a church setting, at least real objective truth. And so let's talk about how culture kind of defines these two things. If you're a grace person, is that you? I mean, man, you are probably nice. You are pleasant to be around, man. You are tolerant of everybody. You want people to just kind of get along with each other, don't you? You are a people person. You are probably not task-oriented. You are certainly people-oriented. But that's the thing. Grace people accept us for who we are, but they never help us to become who we should be. A truth person is going to look at a grace person and think that you are too nice or maybe even soft or weak. Now let's hop on over to the truth people. Is that you? Oh, if you're a truth person, you are bold. You have conviction, right? You tell it like it is. Truth people inspire us with their courage, but they turn us off with their intimidation. A grace person is going to see a truth person as mean and off-putting. Grace is essential. Truth is essential. Grace without truth is status quo. Truth without grace is cold. And so we who are Christians, we must be people of grace and truth. And I want to take the rest of this message to explain why we must be people of grace and truth. Is it even possible? John 1:14 says, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, yes, full of grace and truth." What we talked about a minute ago were kind of the human definitions of these two concepts. But we need to move beyond that for our conversation today. We need to talk about the biblical definitions of exactly what grace is, exactly what truth is. And so let's do that right now. What is grace? Paul writes about it in Romans chapter 5. He writes, "You see, at just the right time when you and I were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That, my friends, is the definition of grace. Jesus is grace personified, and there is no greater image of grace than Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. Make no mistake, the Romans didn't kill Jesus. The high priests did not kill Jesus. The Father sent the Son to die, to take away the sins of the world. And the moment where Christ died for you and me, all of Jesus' followers at that time, they ran away. They were scared. They didn't believe. And my friends, if I was there on that day and I was a follower of Jesus, I would have run away too, because I would have been just as scared. But that's exactly who Jesus came to die for. Grace is unmerited favor or unconditional love from God. You probably have an understanding of what those terms mean, but have you ever experienced unmerited favor or unconditional love on this earth? I mean, even in small ways, when you were a kid and you broke your neighbor's window with a baseball, did that neighbor just forgive you? Did you have really awesome parents when you were growing up or even now, that just show you unconditional love? There is nothing that you could possibly do to make your parents love you any less or any more, because that's just how much they love you. Now, not every single person has really great parents. But I hope you do, and I hope you got a little taste of what unconditional love is from your parents, because it's a little taste of what perfect heavenly love is from our God. and Jesus was full of grace. He welcomed the children to come sit with him. He welcomed sinners. He ate with them. He fed the hungry. He saved criminals. He invested in people that were inconvenient to invest in. Jesus was the personification of grace throughout his life. Now let's move on to truth. John 14:6 says this, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now listen, this is where the Christian faith deviates from culture 180 degrees. A lot of people that are on the fringe of our faith or outside of our faith are okay with Jesus's grace and his love and his acceptance, but they draw the line at Jesus's truth because we human beings do not want to hear truth. But make no mistake, Jesus was truth personified. And he outlined what lies are personified. Listen to this in John chapter 8. He told the Pharisees this. He said, you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so, Jesus very clearly articulates the difference between truth and lies, which is so important today because our culture has a very hard time telling the difference. Our culture likes to say that there is no source of objective truth, doesn't it? Today, we really just don't want to imagine that there is one source of truth. But it's always been like this. Listen to this passage from Judges, written about 3,000 years ago, from Judges chapter 21. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. Now, this is a problem. And this is a huge problem. If everybody invents their own truth, then that means that there is one source of truth for every single person on the planet. There are 8 billion sources of truth. That's what our culture wants to believe. But God wants us to help see that there are not 8 billion sources of truth. There is one source of objective truth, and that's God. According to the Holman Bible Dictionary, truth is that which is reliable and can be trusted. God's word is reliable and can be trusted. Jesus Christ is reliable and can be trusted. Jesus is truth personified. He condemned many of the religious leaders of his day for being liars and hypocrites. Jesus, can you believe this, talked more about hell than he talked about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ obeyed the law. He set standards. He held his disciples to a higher standard, and he demanded everything from them. Have you ever experienced beautiful truth in your life? Has a trusted friend or a mentor or a parent ever come to you and said, hey man, I think you are living life not in the best way possible. You need to change to live a holy life. Has anybody ever said that to you? Jesus was absolutely full of beautiful truth. We have grace, we have truth. But what does it mean to put these things together? Let's end our discussion today by talking about grace and, not or, truth. In my mind, the greatest example of when Jesus demonstrated both of these things at the exact same time was when that sinful woman was brought to Jesus, right? The religious leaders caught her red-handed in adultery. And they brought this woman before Jesus. And Jesus, what are you going to do with this woman? What did Jesus say to the woman? You are forgiven, he said. Go and sin no more. You are forgiven, grace. Go and sin no more, truth. Grace and truth. I love this. Hey, church, if you are a Christian today and you consider yourself a part of the church that Jesus Christ established 2,000 years ago, we as an organization must be one of grace and truth. The church must have grace and it must have truth. Because historically, and maybe you know this, that pendulum has swung back and forth. The church has oftentimes throughout history been either an institution of truth or grace. And I say institution very specifically because when the church is either all about truth or all about grace, it is just a human institution and it is not of God. Because for us to be of God, we must have those both in equal 100% measure. When the church has historically been all about truth, we have, yes, condemned sin, which is good and appropriate, but we also turn people off with our coldness and our harshness and our unwelcoming spirit. That is not of God. When the church has been all about grace and all about acceptance, we demonstrate that grace piece, which is so important, but we never condemn sin. The church doesn't condemn people, but we do condemn sin as awful and evil because it is that sin that separates us from God. Do you see, church, how we must be the church of Jesus Christ, which is grace and truth together? Oh, we so desperately need grace in our lives. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The people of Greensburg, the people of our world, need to hear this statement from Jesus Christ. The people who are sinners, the people who would never set foot inside of a church building because they feel that they're too bad, they need to hear Jesus say to them, come to me. You who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I've got to tell you, if you're somebody who thinks your sin is too great, actually, you're right. Maybe I'm not speaking for you, but my sin is too great, and so I'm right where I need to be in a church family. Resting in the arms of Jesus Christ. And if you are somebody too whose sin is just so great, the place where you need to be is resting in Jesus Christ's arms. The people of Greensburg need to hear that. And as much as we need to hear about grace in our lives, we need to hear some truth too. Jesus said this in John chapter 8, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son or a daughter belongs forever. So if the Son, Jesus, sets you are free indeed. You and I must have somebody as gracious as Jesus in our lives to tell us the truth. Come as you are. Do not stay as you are. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ's forgiveness, you are not okay. You're not. What sin are you suffering from today? Is it gossip? Is it lust? Is it anger? Is it greed? I don't know what sin you're dealing with today. But if you feel guilt for your sin, you are guilty. You are guilty because that sin separates you from God. The world's not going to tell you that. And in fact, it's not me really telling you that. Jesus Christ is telling you that we have to kill our sin. It has to be dead and buried in us. And there's only one way for us to do that. We can't accomplish that on our own. We can only beg Jesus for forgiveness, knowing that it is ours. But we must hear the truth about how terrible our sin is, because if we don't, we are never going to accept Jesus' grace. No alcoholic wants to hear that they have a problem. What is the first step on the road to recovery? Admitting we have a problem. Nobody who is addicted to pornography wants to get caught. What is the first step on the road to recovery? Getting caught. And admitting we have a problem. A person who is full of grace and truth, who is able to confront sin in a forgiving way, is a superhero. People filled with grace and truth love us enough to forgive, and they are truthful enough to challenge us. Grace has a foundation in love. Truth has a foundation in love. Can you see it? Christians are superheroes, and we have to be if we are going to be deployed missionaries. You see, the people of Charter Oak Church, we want to be people who go locally, regionally, and globally to heal spiritual, material, and relational poverty wherever God may send us. This is who disciples are. And it's what we do. I think the greatest barrier to Christians today not believing that they are deployed missionaries is that we are not people of grace and truth. We are people of or grace or truth. Because if we are full of grace, Christians, we recognize that there are people living in poverty around the world that we can help by serving. If we are full of truth, we know that those same people that we are serving need to hear about the redemptive gift of Jesus Christ. The church must be people of grace and truth. Because our Lord Jesus Christ was the Lion of Judah and he was the Lamb of God. And if we Christians are people of grace and truth, we are superheroes that will transform lives by the power of Jesus Christ. Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Lord God, this summer, we want to take our next right step in embracing who you are calling us to be as disciples of Jesus Christ. And we must acknowledge today that we must be people of grace. We must be people of truth because Jesus was. We can't do that on our own. And so, Holy Spirit, invade our lives right now. For those of us who are people of grace, would you show us the beauty of truth? For those of us who are people of truth naturally, will you show us the beauty of grace? And Lord God, help us to spread the name of Jesus Christ to all that we know. And it is in your precious Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Charter Oak Church. You can listen to messages from previous sermon series on our website by going to the Resources tab and clicking on Sermons. You can also listen to previous messages on the Charter Oak Church app. Until next week, God bless and have a great week, everyone.